This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
But I think at the fair I'd blend in because I used to spend my summers at my grandparents' farm.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's Mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Clears the 30, Chase Kinnaman turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the Canary. Mr. Steve Sell, you've been busting out that yellow shirt a lot lately. Must be feeling good.
I like this shirt. It's the most comfortable feeling shirt I think
Tweety
I have.
Bird.
Yeah.
What's the bird's name on Sesame Street? Big Bird.
You don't know a lot about Sesame Street? I never watched Sesame Street.
Why not?
Just didn't appeal to me.
You're just never at home for public television?
I just didn't ever appeal to me. I think Sesame Street.
Elmo.
How long Sesame Street?
Like the 80s.
Around? I was going to say, yeah.
You could have been watching.
But I didn't.
I think there are a lot of relatable characters for you in that show, and that you would really enjoy
Who's the one that's the most confused? That would be me.
Well, I was thinking maybe like the, not Sesame Street, but the Jim Henson ones. The
Muppets?
Yeah, the Muppets. There are a few Muppets I think you could relate to.
I didn't watch that either.
The Swedish Chef? That could maybe be you. Or maybe the guy that goes, meep, 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 meep.
I have no clue.
I think his name is Beaker.
Okay.
You could be Beaker.
Okay.
Steve, it's a big show today.
Big.
It's a big week today.
Big.
As we're getting back to normal, and by normal I mean back into the regular grind of football season, the regular rotation, you come in on a Monday, you dissect what happened over the weekend. Tuesday, you break down the fallout of what happened on a Monday. Wednesday, you start to shift gears. Thursday, you're getting ready for high school football. Friday, we're making our predictions.
Game day.
But on this Wednesday, a little later on, we'll get to break down the newest Chiefs roster.
Okay. I haven't seen the final 53-man roster.
Well, I'll print it for you before we talk about it.
Well, it sounds like they went and did some scrap heap bargain hunting here right toward the end, though.
It's been interesting to follow the NFL for the last 2 or 3 days because of the guys that are on holdout. Now, luckily for the Chiefs, they don't have anybody that's holding out on them and making life a little bit more difficult. But the one that has got everybody worked up is the man who could probably go number one in about every single fantasy football league, a Chiefs killer. Le'Veon Bell.
And I have my fantasy football draft tonight at 6 o'clock.
Do you pick?
Huh?
What's your first pick?
I don't know. Depends what number I am. We draw cards. We do it
you
by
draw
lot.
It there. Okay.
Yeah. And we have 8 guys in our league. And, you know, you draw 1 through 8. And then the 8 guy in the first round, or in the second round, the 8 guy gets the first pick. It's reverse. There's a name.
A serpentine draft.
A serpentine draft. And then we redraw.
Sort of like a snake.
We redraw after 2 rounds. So you could get kind of
You draft weird, where you redraw every time.
Yeah.
And I've never met anybody else that does that.
Well.
And as Steve says, it's the luck of the draw.
That's right.
You could just get slaughtered in that.
Yeah.
If you drew the 8, or if you drew like a 6.
But you know, if you draw, you go 8, 9, you get 2 of the top 9. So, and there's not
Yeah, but you don't get any of the top 8.
But there's not a lot of, 7. I don't see a lot of difference.
I don't know. I think there's a big difference in Todd Gurley and whatever the running back is for the Seahawks.
Well, there's about 3 running backs that are really good, and then after that, it's just a matter of luck, I think.
Andrew Luck? Does that mean you're going to take Andrew Luck?
I think Andrew Luck falls
Ooh.
In our draft pretty Ooh. Far. But I've got my eye on him.
So people are following these holdouts. And Mr. Le'Veon Bell has infuriated a lot of fantasy football fans because they don't know what to do.
And he does this every year, though.
The argument I'm going to make today, Steve, is that I think as fans, we need to support the idea of Le'Veon Bell holding out.
Really?
Yeah. How often do you like the billionaires to win? Does it make you happy when the Cowboys players that are holding out come back so that way it saves Jerry Jones a couple of million dollars? Does that make you happy?
They all cut in the end, they all come back. You don't see a guy that just...
We'll see.
Sits out.
I'm nervous about this Le'Veon Bell cat.
Well, hopefully when my pick comes, I won't have to worry about Le'Veon because if I have the number one or two pick, if I have one or two, I got to take a guy that I know's playing. I can't take a guy that I'm pretty sure is going to play. But I mean, when you have the first pick, it's like the first pick in the baseball draft. You can't blow that. Even like a top five pick, the Royals have had one. They have,
and
look who they took. Christian Colon.
Big time.
Bubba Starling was the sixth pick. And where's Bubba now?
Luke Hochaver, yeah.
Yeah, Luke Hochaver, number one overall. Yeah. I mean, Hochaver had a couple good years when they were really good. But a guy like Luke Hochaver, when you pick that high in the draft, you want a guy that's going to be – a front line, like almost a Hall of Fame type guy when you have that high of a pick.
But my point with this is, Steve, I think we need to be in support of players holding out. Now, I don't think every player should do it or else it'll make life a mess. But I think that as fans, we need to support that. Because if we just expect these guys to just take less and less money, they're going to retire earlier. The game's going to get worse. And I think that with players like Le'Veon Bell, however much I enjoy him sitting out and the Chiefs potentially playing him later on, early on in the season, I'm hoping that he's not playing much. Same went with the Ezekiel Elliott thing. I was rooting for him to come out of that fine, but I was really hoping he wouldn't play against the Chiefs.
Well, Le'Veon Bell better play this year because I have the Steelers winning the Super Bowl. In my column,
and the Chiefs get him in week two.
MidKansasOnline.com, sell on sports. I have my Super Bowl picks,
and we'll talk about those a little later today too.
Okay,
but I think especially Chiefs fans right now, you got to be in support of Le'Veon Bell holding
out. Oh yeah, yeah.
The less time that he spends on the football field before September 16th, the better.
And he's a Chiefs killer.
And it would be awesome if he didn't spend any time on the field until like September 17th.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
And deal with James Conner. But I think as fans, we need to be in support of these guys trying to make their money. Similar to what we've seen in the NBA recently with guys wanting to become free agents, test the waters, and figure out where they can go to get the most money. And I know that people like to be critical of Kevin Durant for his move to Golden State, which is a little different argument than this. But it's in the same genre of giving the players independence. Because does it really make you happy when Clark Hunt makes money and wins these type of battles? Does that make you happy?
No.
Jerry Jones?
Because those guys got more money they can ever spend in their lifetime.
But that's the way it feels sometimes with fans. Oh, be loyal to your team. Take a pay cut. Be loyal those guys.
Nobody takes a pay cut anymore.
Why would you want your favorite players to take a pay cut?
Nobody ever takes a pay cut. Now, they may not get as much as they want, but the days... In fact, I was reading... I got a lot of old books at my house, and I was reading... I think it was Ball 4, and back in the 60s, a player had a great year. He was making $18,000 playing baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And had a really good year. And got cut to $16,000, even though he had a good year. And had to have another job in the offseason. You don't see athletes.
And that's why we need these player protests and sit-outs to get them to make more money. Because some people will go, oh, well, they're playing a game for money. They don't need to make so much. Yes, they do.
Well, the problem is, well, for the NFL guys,
they got to get their money while they can.
Their shelf life is so short. Now, baseball... and basketball are different because guys can play 15 years. But in the NFL, I mean, if you play more than 5 years in the NFL,
you're going to make some good money.
You're going to make some good money.
And that's why you have to strike while the iron is hot, per se. But I think we need to be in favor of this. And it's a little more frustrating when it's guys on your team, whoever you're a fan of, because you're going, God, we need that guy. Get him back out on the field. But I think, as a whole, we need to be in support
of them
getting as much money as possible, because we don't want these rich owners to win.
But you have
we want the players to win.
In the NFL, there's a salary cap.
Well, right.
And that plays into
Leave it up to the owners. Make them make the decision.
Well, that's why they hire capologists.
That's true. And that's why the Raiders trade Khalil Mack.
What a
bad decision.
Man, I tell you what, they sank that season. That ship is already on its way down. It's the Titanic.
John Gruden.
That's the Titanic.
John Gruden. Everybody's going, oh, he won a Super Bowl. Oh, he's been the expert on Monday Night Football with Sean McDonough. John Gruden runs the quarterback camp on ESPN.
And he's
a guru.
And he has signed a 10.
He's a clown.
He signed a 10-year deal. Can you believe that?
He's a clown. And you and I were not high on, well, we were high on that decision as fans of the Chiefs and not fans of the Raiders.
Yeah.
Is John Gruden even going to make it to Las Vegas?
I don't know.
I think they're moving to Vegas in 2 years.
Yeah.
It's very possible that if this team tanks this year, and then you get into year number two with John Gruden, and everybody's still mad, and Derek Carr is mad, and the team's not stopping anybody, and all these fans are ready to just be done with them and get to Vegas and start over, that could happen.
Yeah.
I thought that was a boneheaded move.
Well, yeah. And
to take John Gruden.
And also to...
He's been out of the game for 15 years.
To trade Khalil Mack.
Oh, yeah.
This close to the start of the season, what does it do to the chemistry in the clubhouse?
I don't think the players have been very happy about it.
No.
And I read a take from somebody, I believe it was Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1, and talking about guys that are, quote, untradeable. Guys that are healthy. That they are top three at their position in the league. Maybe top five in the league defensively. That they don't have any red flags. There's nothing... You know, Marcus Peters, there were some red flags.
Sure.
But I still am against trading him. Khalil Mack didn't have any red flags. He's in the prime of his career. A guy that the team drafted.
2 years ago was player of the year.
It's not like they just picked him up off the streets and signed him to a one-year deal.
Yeah.
This was a guy that they drafted.
In the top five.
And they got, I believe, 2 first-round picks out of it.
Right.
And maybe a second. But are those first-round picks going to be as good as Khalil Mack?
Exactly. I mean, Khalil Mack's a proven commodity. You don't know what first-round picks are going to do. You have no idea.
It's a game-changer.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack is a game-changer.
Yep.
So, moral of the story, don't trade the best player in defense in the NFL, and don't get mad at Le'Veon Bell. And let's hope that he sits out until September 17th. Chiefs luck, he'll sit out this week, and then come back like Monday of next week and good to go.
And then
torch him for 2:30,
yeah, well,
something like that.
Can you imagine? Oh, all right, let's just, if he does play, can you imagine the way the Chiefs defense is playing, what Le'Veon Bell does to the Chiefs defense? He'll probably go for 2:30 and catch another 110 out of the backfield.
I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy when he's playing against the Chiefs and he's slowly behind the line.
Oh, yeah.
Big Ben. Just handed it off with his hurt foot.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And he just
makes
he
me
sits
sick.
There and he just nickels and dimes.
So let's hope he stays sitting out.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well.
All right, Steve, let's take our first break. When we come back, I want to dive into this Chiefs 53-man roster, look at some of the moves, and then I want to hear some of your predictions for what's going to happen in a wild NFL season that starts tomorrow. Philly and Atlanta.
Wow.
I'm excited.
Lid lifter.
The world champs and Nick Foles.
Isn't that a No, that was the semifinal game, I believe, last year. It wasn't the championship game of the NFC. Wasn't it Minnesota and Philadelphia in the championship game?
Correct.
Okay.
Let's take our first break. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. It's football season. We've already got our dosage of high school football, our dosage of college football, and now the NFL is back. The Chiefs play on Sunday, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers, no longer of San Diego and Qualcomm Stadium. But the NFL season kicks off tomorrow night. The reigning world champion Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. Steve, the Chiefs made their 53-man roster cuts this week. They went from about 95 guys on the sidelines down to 53, and the NFL changed some rules this year. Before, they would make cuts after every single game throughout the preseason.
Right.
Now, they wait until the very end, which is good in some ways for players because they have more opportunities, but more guys get cut at the end. So, as we look at this 53-man roster, there aren't that many surprises. There were only a few positions that were kind of up for grabs, like the third quarterback spot for the Chiefs. Matt McGloin beat out Chase Litton, which I think a lot of people figured was going to happen. Damian and Daryl Williams, the two backup running backs behind Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware, because remember, Sharkhandrick West was cut.
And that tells me Sharkhandrick West getting cut was purely financial. Because Sharkhandrick West is better than either of the two Williams.
Wide receivers Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Chris Conley, DeMarcus Robinson, DeAnthony Thomas. Now that one's a little bit of a surprise. And Marcus Kemp.
Marcus Kemp is a surprise to me because I really liked Gary Dieter. I was impressed with
Alabama
him.
Alabama guy.
Yeah, I liked him in the preseason.
What about Jehu Chesson, who I'm pretty sure was like a third or fourth round pick?
Fourth round pick last year. DeAnthony Thomas, though, he's a versatile guy. You know, he can help you in the return game. He's a special teams, you know, he's a gunner, you know, sometimes on the punts. So I'm not surprised. You know, Andy Reid loves speed. DeAnthony Thomas, one of the fastest guys on the team.
Travis Kelce and Alex Ellis will be the backup tight end. Offensive lineman Eric Fisher, Cam Irving, who the Chiefs signed to a big deal yesterday, Mitch Morse, LDT, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the doctor, Mitch Schwartz, Andrew Wiley, Brian Witzman, Jordan Devy, and Khalil McKenzie, who remember is the son of the Raiders GM.
Yeah, and he was a defensive lineman.
I think he's from Tennessee.
Yeah, he was a defensive lineman, and when the Chiefs drafted him, they immediately said he's going to be an offensive lineman. So he's a project. Boy, I look at that offensive line. Kind of scares me a little bit.
They're always scary.
Yeah, they're just, you know, if you were grading, they're right there. They're a C. They're no better than a C. And even though the Chiefs have incredible, probably the best collection of playmakers in the NFL, you're only as good as your offensive line.
Defensively on the D-line, Chris Jones, Alan Bailey, Xavier Williams, Jarvis Jenkins, Derek Donati, and Justin Hamilton. The linebackers, there's nine of them. Justin Houston, Dee Ford, Tano Passanio, Breland Speaks, Reggie Raglan, Anthony Hitchens, Ben Neiman, who's from Iowa, Dorian O'Daniel, and Terrence Smith. And then the secondary. Ugh, these are some scary names. Kendall Fuller, Steven Nelson, Orlando Scandrick, Tremont Smith, Charvarius Ward, Eric Berry, who knows what the heck's going to happen with him, Armani Watts, who was a draft pick by the Chiefs this year, Eric Murray, Jordan Lucas, and Dan the Man Sorensen.
And Dan Sorensen got put on injury reserve, which I think means he can't play for like eight games or something like that. Very scary. The secondary, I mean.
That's the scariest part.
They picked
the
up,
offense, I think you feel good.
They just picked up Charvarius Ward, I know, off the scrap heap. Orlando Scandrick off the scamp. And this doesn't even have Ron Parker on here, the list we got. They picked
up. Yeah, Ron Parker's
Ron new. Parker should actually be on there. He's going to start at safety. The Chiefs cut him. He went to Atlanta. They cut him. He's coming back, and he's going to start. That tells you the state of the Chiefs secondary. So I think if in the real world, the Chiefs would like to have Fuller, Nelson, Barry, and
maybe Armani Watts
and Parker. I mean, whatever.
Well, Phillip, yeah, Ron Parker.
I never
too.
Saw whatever happened to Phillip Gaines. He must have just disappeared. Yeah. He must have just floated away.
Rough.
And then Terrence Mitchell, who became a national, he became a national household name because he got torched that one night when they played the Raiders, and Armani Cooper had like 190 yards against him.
Who was the guy? Maybe not. The Marcus Cooper was the one that had a really bad game against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And then I think he was with like Atlanta last year.
Yeah.
And had a really good year.
Yeah.
Marcus.
Yeah. So the Chiefs defense, obviously the strength when you look at it, linebacker, Houston Ford, Raglan Hitchens, that's four really good linebackers. And I think Tano, I can't pronounce his last
Passanio.
Name. You know, he's got a chance, and Breland Speaks is their highest draft pick.
Yeah.
He's a big dude for a linebacker. He's like 280 pounds.
Steve, our final break. When we come back, your predictions on the NFL season. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? And more importantly, what's the Chiefs' record going to be? We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up a NFL preview, according to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve Sell, it's time. You've been waiting on this Sell on Sports column for weeks. You've been pondering, spending the entire offseason doing research.
No.
And you've come down to your conclusions today of who you think is going to be a winner, a loser, a Super Bowl contender in 2018. Steve, let's start off with individual champions by division
okay.
in the NFL, which starts tomorrow night, by the way.
Okay. And
let's start with – I've got your list pulled
okay.
up. Let's start with the NFC East.
That's pretty much a no-brainer. When the Eagles, I know that Carson Wentz isn't playing, but I like the Eagles.
Nick Foles is a starter.
Their defense is just so good. They're so deep on defensively.
I feel good about them as well. NFC South. Who do you have as your division winner?
I got Atlanta.
I do too.
And you know, that division's been really weird because every year it seems like somebody different wins every year. And there was a stretch where the team that won the next year, they were last. I mean, it's a very balanced division, but Atlanta seems to have the least number of flaws.
I like New Orleans a lot. And I've got them as a wild card team, but I think they could easily win this division.
And see, I don't like them as much as you do, but they're getting better on defense. It used to just be they were all offense and no defense.
NFC North.
I like Minnesota.
I do too.
I'm a big defense guy. Green Bay just doesn't have, you know, enough.
So you're not in on the Bears?
Not in on the Bears yet. They're bad quarterback play. But
Mitchell, Trubisky.
But Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay, he just doesn't have enough to go with him anymore.
NFC West.
Well, I have the Rams, and again, a boom or bust team. I think this is the most unpredictable team in the NFL. They've added a bunch of really named players to their defense, but they all carry baggage. I mean, when you add Marcus Peters and Ndamukong Suh, that's just
Aqib
like
Tlaib.
Aqib Tlaib. You're just that's three guys that are like powder kegs.
And a coach that's like 33.
Yeah. But it comes down to Jared Goff, the quarterback. Awful as a rookie, unbelievable last year. Which one is he for sure? But when you look at the rest of the division, I mean, who would you pick ahead of him? You're not going to pick Seattle.
I'm not buying Jimmy G.
I'm not buying Jimmy G in San Francisco. Seattle's lost everybody.
Not buying Sam Bradford in Arizona.
Arizona's they have a new coach. You generally don't, you know, do very well with a new coach. So
wild card teams.
I've got Carolina, and who was my other one? I got
Green Bay.
Green Bay. And the reason I picked Green Bay, because they play the Bears and Lions. That should be four wins. They'll probably split. They always split with Minnesota, so they're probably going to go 5-1 their division. I picked Carolina because every year I underestimate them, and they always seem to exceed expectations. It was between Carolina and New Orleans for that other spot, and I went Carolina.
We had the same four for the NFC division. Rams, Vikings, Philly, Atlanta. I'm taking New Orleans and Green Bay in the wild card. All right, Steve, AFC. AFC South, the best division in football. Who you got?
And I got a. Let's see. Who did I have?
That would be the Houston Texans.
I did pick the Houston Texans. And you know, the thing about Houston is they are the team that every year suffers the most devastating injuries. Look who they lost. I mean, J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson. That was the heart and soul of their team right there. And, you know, Clowney got hurt one year. If they're ever healthy, I think they're really good. And that's a great division. That was a hard division to pick.
Great division. They're horrible.
I mean, as far as picking the winner.
Because they're all so bad.
They're all around 9-7.
they're all terrible.
They're all 7-9 and 9-7. Now, Jacksonville was the, you know, surprise team. They were the surprise team last year. That's the team it's going
to
take.
I'm picking them to win the division.
And see, I have them and Tennessee both falling off big time. I really do.
Jacksonville to win the division. AFC North.
I got Pittsburgh.
Not hard.
I don't think that's real hard. Cincinnati's really fallen by the wayside. Cleveland is Cleveland. And that just leaves the Ravens. The Ravens are always good. They never, you know.
Yeah, they were not very good last year.
But even on their bad years, they're 8-8 or 9-7. And anymore, you can make the playoffs at 9-7.
AFC East, real tough one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, New England probably has it clinched by, you know, December 1st. What a terrible division. I mean, that's just that's the worst division in football. Miami, the Jets, and who's the other ham and egger in there?
The Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo
Nathan
Bills.
Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, I think my comment on Buffalo was Nathan Peterman starting at quarterback. I have to bite my lip to keep from laughing. The Bills are going to be terrible.
Steve, finally, the AFC West. How do you see this one playing out? Because I see it playing out differently than you.
Well, and I'm going to get slaughtered by Chiefs fans, but I like Denver. I think the arrival of Case Keenum gives them what they have to put them over the edge. I've got Kansas City second, and the reason I do that defense just scares me. And I don't know. I mean, Patrick, the other problem is not just Patrick Mahomes, you know, first year as a starter. Their first six games, they could realistically be 1-5 after six games. They probably have the toughest six games of any team to open the schedule. Then the schedule lightens up considerably. But I'm liking the Broncos by a game over the Chiefs.
Chargers, Chiefs, Denver, Oakland. Denver and Oakland are going to have bad years.
Okay.
And the Chiefs might beat the Chargers twice, but I think the Chargers have the ability to
win
I've
more. Well, I've seen the Chargers are the trendy pick to win the division, but they're like the Texans.
Phyllis.
Yeah, they're like the Texans. They never can stay healthy.
All right, Steve, your Super Bowl matchup.
I'm saying it's an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl.
Ooh.
I'm going Steelers and Eagles. I know that teams don't repeat. I actually had, when I first did my picks, I had it Steelers-Minnesota. And then the more I thought about it, I said, boy, you know, does Minnesota have enough offense? And I think Carson Wentz actually not playing the first few weeks, that's going to make him better because he's going to be fresh at the end of the year.
Pittsburgh versus Atlanta. That's my prediction.
Okay.
All right, Steve. We'll wrap up today's show tomorrow. I think we'll talk a little bullpup football and preview Thursday.
Who did you pick to win it?
Oh, how about I go with Pittsburgh?
I did, too. I had Pittsburgh.
No. I'm going to – who did I say? Atlanta? I'm taking Atlanta.
Okay, I'm going –
Matt Ryan, Matty Ice.
I'm going Pittsburgh over Philadelphia.
Atlanta. Hotlanta.
Okay.
Falcons.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Bullpup Football Preview Thursday. We'll talk a little bit about the Atlanta-Philly matchup coming up tomorrow night. And then Friday, back to business. We wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.